Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Email as always, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Stephen is with me here on the programme because, Stephen, you posted a video online on social media about your 77-year-old mother being clamped. What happened?
Thanks, Andrea. 18th of May last month, I got a call from my mum. She was pretty distressed. She came out of the Blanchetown Centre to her car was clamped. Now, she had no idea what to do. And she rang me. I got to her about half an hour later. Weather was dreadful. So I told her, go into Blanchetown Centre, sit there where there's a crowd rather than in a car being isolated. But when I got to the car, I parked close enough to it. I looked in and she had her badge on display in the visor. Now, I'll be the first to admit, it wasn't the most visible place to put it. There has been better and she's put it in a better place since. But when I rang the clamping company to say, listen, the badge is there, what's happening? There was just no compassion, nothing at all. It's literally, no, it's clamped, you have to do something about it. I also said that it's, they showed you, they send you a link, you can see pictures. And I said, I can zoom in and I can see it on the visor. And they point blankly refused to look at the picture. Said, no, there's no way we can see that.
Where exactly, just to give me an idea, Steve, where exactly in the windscreen was it that you were told that it wasn't visible?
It was raining. It was hard to kind of see the top of the windscreen, but it was literally on the back of the sun visor. Now, if you stand in front of the car and look directly at it, it's not there. What I've been told on the phone was that she did not have it on display on the dashboard. That was literally the phrase they said. They said it legally has to be on the dashboard. I said to them, can you point me to the legislation that's saying that has to be on the dashboard? The sign in front of where she parked says it has to be visible to the windscreen. There was literally, the man just went quiet. I said, well, where's the proof? Like, how can you show this? And he said to me, I don't have to prove that to you. You have to pay the fine.
How much was the fine, Stephen?
Well, this is what happened. We didn't actually pay the fine in the end because another clamper came to a car right beside us while I was on the call to them. And I asked him, can you stand and look in that window and tell me if you can see a badge?
Yeah.
And he said yes. Now, only that I had been recording a video at the time and I had his voice on it saying that he could actually see it. I rang them back up. He said, he can't do anything about it at the office. You have to talk to the office. I said, fair enough. I'm not going to argue with you. You're just doing a job.
Yeah.
When I talked to the office, they literally, they kept insisting, no, there's nothing we can do. There was absolutely no compassion for the fact that this was an elderly lady with a valid badge. We have to pay the fine. So when I mentioned that I had a recording, the tone changed. I said, oh, I'll get on to management. And then suddenly, oh, we'll take it off just this once.
So there was now, some compassion shown.
It was, well, the man that I have to say, the second clamper that came was a lovely man. I was standing there in the rain, holding an umbrella for him, chatting to him to say, listen, is there anything we can do? And he took it off. Now, he was waiting on a word from the head office, which wasn't coming at all to him. And he just said, listen, my mum had come back to the car that time, just sitting in the car, and he said, I'll take it off then. But the point I made from sharing this video is that only that my mum had me to call up and to make the phone call for her. Like, these badges are on cars for a reason. These are vulnerable drivers.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to ask you, if you don't mind maybe telling us, or if you feel comfortable, Stephen, sharing a little bit about your mother. She's she has a legitimate disability blue badge. Like, it's there for a reason.
Well, you don't get them for nothing. Like, she's not a walker. Thankfully she's slow on her feet, but she's fully cognitive, great at driving, and that's her independence. You know, that's her independence to get around. But like, I can give you another example from the Blanchetown Centre. I reached out to other people that had similar issues, and a friend of mine who has a badge for one of their kids who has additional needs, the same thing happened to them. Badge was on display, they wouldn't accept it, and when the clamper came to, they eventually ended up paying it. When the clamper came to take it off, he said to my friend, your son doesn't look that disabled, do they? Like, there's absolutely no compassion in these people at all. And it's like, you have to ask the question, are these clamping companies there to protect the spaces for vulnerable drivers? Are they there to protect their profits?
So it raises an interesting point, Stephen, and I can see even from some of the texts coming in, you know, I can see from some of the texts coming in from listeners today around where the blue badge or where a blue badge has to actually be physically displayed, you know, and look, to be fair to those working in clamping companies, they too have a job to do and it needs to be there and needs to be visible to them. But you're saying there's no legislation, is there not, around where?
I'll put my hands up and absolutely say it was not in the most ideal spot. And since then, we've rectified that.
Mm.
But when you park in disabled spot, there is a sign in front of it that has the regulations for that actual spot. And the text in that spot says it should be visible in the windscreen. It doesn't have to be on the dashboard. But the argument is that they're saying that we should be able to see it on the dashboard.
Mm. And look, I suppose this probably, maybe it happens in a lot of other places or car parking, in car parking areas or companies as well. And we'll certainly contact Blanchardstown Centre, you know, on your behalf, Stephen, and ask them if they'd like to make a response, you know, in relation to this.
Yeah.
But at least in your instance, it was rectified on the day.
It was rectified, but the only reason it was rectified was because I mentioned that I had a recording of another clamper saying he can see it.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is that it shouldn't be on the disabled badge driver to try and prove a case, mm-hmm. and then in many cases going and trying to appeal it and getting rejected and having gone to the NTA and then finally getting mm-hmm. the money back. That there should be a bit of compassion within the company to say, hey, okay, can you show me that it is a valid badge? And be able to work from there, that a clamper can come along and say, oh yeah, I can verify that is the badge, I'll take it off. Whereas the only opportunity that people have really to get the clamp off is normally pay the money and get through it. We were very lucky that we didn't have to pay on the day, but it's just, it's not fair.
Well, your mum was lucky, Stephen, to have you to, you know, to advocate on her behalf. And funny you say that about, you know, the number of people paying the clamping fines, because we were talking about that on the show yesterday. But I was just reading earlier this morning, almost 1 in 10 vehicle clamps that were installed by Dublin City Council in the past 12 months were actually illegally removed or destroyed. 1800 453 106, that is the number. Brian is with us on the line as well. Brian, you were listening to Stephen there. You contacted the show recently because you agree with clamping, is that right? And feel there should be more of it?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, well, sorry, just to clarify, I don't agree with more clamping in Stephen's case.
Ah, no, I appreciate that.
That was the horrific incident there for his mum. I think my point of view was that I live very close to the city centre and the level of illegal parking is absolutely off the charts. And no matter how many times you report cars that are parked illegally, the SPS and the Parking Enforcement Division of Dublin City Council just don't take enough action. They don't have enough resources. Just to give an example, we had a situation where we had over half a dozen people who were working in the area who had parked the car on our road, a very small road, for up to 12 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week, and not pay 1 cent of parking, even though it's a pay and display zone from 7 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week.
So what, there's nobody monitoring it then?
No.
God, you do well to get parked in Dublin City Centre for 12 hours, you know, and to think that nobody would ever come around and check it.
It was happening regularly, and we had to, it took us about, let's say, 4 months of constantly contacting the SPS and the Parking Enforcement Division of Dublin City Council to eventually start getting them coming out. And then they eventually would start clamping after a while, but it was literally 3 to 4 months of every day having to contact them, and they may turn up once a week or once every so often. Now it has got a bit better now because we constantly kept at it, but it was pretty much a part-time job you had to do to get them to constantly come out. And we've seen already now that they've probably stopped coming around again, and we can see again the habits come back again, people will start parking illegally again non-stop. And also we see in the local area, which is somewhat to Stephen's point, we see more and more people parking in disabled spaces that clearly have no badge. And I've actually confronted quite a few of them.
Have you?
And their attitude is, what's got to do with you? And this is not someone who has, you know, a badge that may not be slightly visible around. Yeah. These are people who have absolutely no badge whatsoever.
Yeah.
And when you confront them, their attitude is, none of your business, walk on.
And when you, as somebody that's, you know, a resident or business person in the locality, I presume the illegal parking means, Brian, that you and others, you probably can't park anywhere near your home then.
Exactly.
It's on street parking.
We have to then go try and find a space that's free parking somewhere nearby, which is next to impossible. In close to the city centre, it's not in those spaces. So you're sitting there waiting in the car for someone to leave, hoping someone will leave. or you have to go try and find a space elsewhere.
And probably even if you have the parking permit, as I'm sure you do, Brian, you know, you're paying out each year to have the luxury of that, of being able to park on the street close to your home, and now you can't get a spot at all.
Exactly. And we fully understand, don't be wrong, we understand that although we pay for it, we're not guaranteed a space, and that's fine, we understood that. But the annoyance is that when you come back from work and you can't get a space because there's half a dozen cars parked illegally and haven't paid for parking all day long, that's the frustration, I guess.
Hugh is with us on the line. Brian, thanks a million for sharing your story with us. I believe, Hugh, you were clamped twice in one day, is that right?
No, yeah, I was clamped. I was going to the bank one morning, ran in, and by the time I ran out, a fella was putting the clamp on. So I had to pay him. He took it off straight away, you know. So that was, I think it was 80 quid at the time, 80 euros. And then the afternoon, I ran up again and went in and came out. There's another clamp, same place. Now, I was doing that. I was doing it for years. Like, it was always, I'd always just run in real fast and run out.
But had you paid for the parking?
I know. I just put it on. I just thrown it out.
Right. So you were just kind of putting in for a split second, or so you thought, and in that moment.
Yeah. I've been doing it for years.
Like, this will eventually catch up with you.
I got twice in the one day. But your man, the last guy you had on, Brian, you know, how did he know the cars were parked illegally?
Is Brian still with us there on the line? Brian,
yeah, still there, yeah.
Well, I presume they didn't have a permit.
Well, you don't have to have a permit if you have an electronic. I have the electronic yoke on my car now, so when you pull in somewhere, you just do it over the phone. So you wouldn't know if it's. How would you know that they're illegal?
So when we contact the SBS, we can give the reg number to them, and they can actually check whether it's paid or not. And the SBS have confirmed, no, that car has no electronic parking.
There's no way they confirmed that. There's no way they confirmed that to you.
They've confirmed that multiple times.
That would be in breach of all kinds of regulations in relation to information, wouldn't it? To give it out to a member of the public, whether their car is or not.
But usually if you have a permit to park in a residential area, Hugh, and I know this myself as somebody who was renting for a long period where there was no, you know, where you had just on-street parking, as a resident, you had to buy the residential permit to park on that particular street.
Oh, yeah, but if you... But I mean,
and that was visible, you know, in your window.
On my car, if I pull in, I just press a few buttons on the phone. And, you know, it tells you for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it is.
But it probably says you can't, you certainly can't park for 12 hours. Most of the areas around Dublin City Centre have a max 2 or 3 hour limit. Typically, they used to, but
I don't think that applies anymore. I remember that before it was like 4 hours max. So that seems to have gone. But there's no way you could tell. I mean, I'm amazed that they would give out that information to that gentleman, because they'd be in breach of GDPR to do that. It's a wide open breach, you know. God, if that ever came out, they'd be in real trouble.
But Brian, you say you were told that, though.
Yeah, so the parking enforcement section of Dublin City Council advised there is a 3 hour max parking in the area. And on occasion, when you phone the SBS, if you ask them to check, rather than wasting time for a clamper to come out, they will often check and say, no, they have paid for parking, or yes, they haven't paid for parking on the app.
They gave that information to you. That's pretty correct, incredible. Yeah. Like that's in breach of all kinds of GDPR. I mean, if that's correct, they've opened themselves up with the real can of worms there, haven't they?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Texter says, I find it extraordinary that ratepayers in the city centre aren't provided with a parking permit. Another listener tells me the county councils need to start removing private parking signs and the railings and cones and council streets that residents have designated as their own private parking spaces. I don't know how big of a problem that is. If it is in your own locality, please do let us know. Kieran is with us on the line. Kieran, I think you've a happy clamper story, is that right?
Yeah, I got away lightly. I got away very nicely. A couple of years back, brought my partner into hospital when she was in labour. And to be honest, once I was happy that I wasn't going to be blocking an ambulance, I left it. I left the car, ran straight into the hospital. I came out a good few hours later, and I had been nabbed. So I stepped over to the office, the car park office, and I explained the situation, what had happened, that I was like, I know that I had abandoned the car. I was like, but I was, to be honest, I had my head was in other places, kind of a thing. And your man said to me, before I had even asked to, you know, is there any chance we can make this go away? He actually gave me a number for the office, and he said, just give them a call and explain what's just happened there, and we'll come back to me. So I called them up, and straight away they were like, oh yeah, that'll be no problem. And so we can get that we can get that sorted for you if you can move the car now. So yeah, they took off the sticky sticker on the window, the clamp, the whole lot, and that was it. Gone. No issue at all. Yeah. Now, Andrea, I will say I'm one of these people that was kind of born with the gift of the gab. Like, you know, I could talk with a million to turn in. But
you can talk yourself out of a clamp. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, it worked. Look at, there we go.
That's fantastic. And look, good to hear as well, because I know that the clampers are getting a lot of stick here today and yesterday in the show, but nice to hear, as you say, a little bit of compassion shown in those circumstances. This texter, though, tells me that they were at the RDS horse show. They were clamped. We have a daughter who's a wheelchair user. Security had told us where to park. When we came back, we were clamped and we had a 2-hour journey home. We had to wait 2 hours for the clampers to come. We then had to pay 80 quid and we had to wait with her daughter on the street. She needed her medication as well. They were all at home at the time. And another listener story there. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.